From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Root of Failure and the Key to Victory, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. The life of faith is represented as receiving, an act which implies the very opposite of anything like merit. It is simply the acceptance of a gift. As the earth drinks in the rain, as the sea receives the streams, as night accepts light from the stars, so we, giving nothing, partake freely of the grace of God. The saints are not, by nature, wells or streams. They are but cisterns into which the living water flows. They are empty vessels into which God pours His salvation. The idea of receiving implies a sense of realization, making the matter a reality. One cannot very well receive a shadow. We receive that which is substantial. So is it in the life of faith. Christ becomes real to us. While we are without faith, Jesus is a mere name to us, a person who lived long while ago, so long ago that his life is only a history to us now. By an act of faith, Jesus becomes a real person in the consciousness of our heart. But receiving also means grasping or getting possession of. The thing which I receive becomes my own. I appropriate to myself that which is given. When I receive Jesus, He becomes my Savior, so mine that neither life nor death shall be able to rob me of Him. All this is to receive Christ, to take Him as God's free gift, to realize Him in my heart, and to appropriate Him as mine. Salvation may be described as the blind receiving sight, the deaf receiving hearing, the dead receiving life. But we have not only received these blessings, we have received Christ Jesus Himself. It is true that He gave us life from the dead. He gave us pardon of sin. He gave us imputed righteousness. These are all precious things. But we are not content with them. We have received Christ Himself. The Son of God has been poured into us, and we have received Him and appropriated Him. What a heartful Jesus must be, for heaven itself cannot contain Him.
Set my heart I'm
Indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel had just enjoyed a remarkable victory over the city of Jericho. Yet in the very next chapter, we find the very same army suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Shocked by this turn of events, Joshua cried out to God as to the reason. The Lord gave a very terse answer. There is sin in the camp. As we'll see in the course of this message, the Christian's attitude towards sin is the key, either to victory or to defeat. The sin spoken of here is not just the occasional transgression. It is gross, deliberate, and persistent sin, which grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Achan's sin included many aspects, including sacrilege, contamination by the unclean thing, and hypocrisy. The presence of unconfessed sin renders a believer powerless against God's enemies. Now to continue this message, the root of failure and the key to victory, here is Dr. Cairns.
Undoubtedly, the success of the men of Ai threw the Jews into a fit of depression and must have engendered great hope in all the fainting hearts in the other cities and kingdoms of the land of Canaan. Joshua was naturally devastated. And as a man of God, when he was devastated, he went before the Lord. We have read this morning how he cried, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people into this land over Jordan in order to destroy them?" Then he said, "Lord, what will I say when Israel turns her back upon her enemies? What will I say when the armies of God are a laughing stock? What will I say when the name of Jehovah is mocked in the name of heathen deities? What's going to happen? How did we ever get here? Why did we ever come here?" He was lamenting before the Lord. The Lord's answer was peremptory. He said to Joshua, if you look at verse 10 through 12, "Get thee up." Now that was a very abrupt way of speaking. Joshua was on his face before God. God says, "Joshua, get up. Why are you lying in your face before me?" There's no great secret about this. Israel has sinned. Israel has taken of the accursed thing. She has dissembled and hidden this cursed thing in the midst of the camp. As we read, "Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies." Someone had flaunted the very plain command of the Lord. Back in Joshua chapter 6, before Jericho was taken, the Lord had given a very clear, unmistakable command. In verse 17 and following, he said that the city shall be accursed. The word accursed carries the force of devoted to God. In this case, it's devoted to destruction. But he says it's accursed, and all that are therein, with the exception of Rahab and her family, will be saved. And he says in verse 18, "Ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and the camp of Israel you make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. The silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They come into the treasury of the Lord." I don't want to get off on a tangent there. But Israel had to learn, first of all, obedience to God. Second, she had to learn that the first fruit of her conquest in the promised land, coming as it did from the hand of God, was the Lord's. She had to learn to live not by lust, but by faith. All these things were embedded in this very clear commandment of God. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing. If you take the accursed thing, you will curse yourself, you will curse the camp, you will trouble the nation, you will bring down the displeasure of the Lord. Now the whole army of Israel went into battle at Jericho with that in mind. That was ringing in the ears of every soldier. That was something that was so solemn and it was so embedded in their conscience that not one soldier of all the tribes of Israel laid his hand on any of the accursed thing, with the exception of one man. And that man was Achan. The Lord made it clear that until the perpetrator was dealt with, there would be and there could be no victory. We have read this morning how Joshua set about the task of discovering his identity. At last he obtained from Achan a confession. "I have done it." They executed him and all who had connived with him. And they say all who had connived with him, because it was impossible that he could do all this in the family quarters without their knowledge. The law of God is that the children will not die for the sins of the parents, and the parents will not die for the sins of the children. In this case, the family was visited with judgment because the family was corrupted by the father's sin. So the judgment was executed upon them. And when that was done, then the children of Israel, if you read on in the next chapter, attacked Ai and fully conquered it. Now, in Joshua chapter 7, what we have is the record of a very important and far-reaching lesson that the Lord taught the children of Israel. He taught them that they had suffered defeat at Ai because of unjudged sin, and that they could only regain the blessing of God upon which their victory depended as that sin was exposed and judged by them. Now, we should pay close attention to that lesson. Time has not negated it. Time has not dimmed it. Time has not weakened it. The lesson is abundantly plain to us. Touch not the accursed thing. There's a call here to personal and corporate separation on the part of the people of God. Touch not the accursed thing. If you touch that which is accursed and unclean, you will bring upon yourself great spiritual loss, and you'll bring upon your family great spiritual loss, and you'll bring upon the work of God and the testimony of Christ great spiritual loss. Touch not the accursed thing. While you touch it, there can be no victory. There can be no blessing. There can be no enjoyment of the fullness of Christ. And until you judge it, that's the situation that will continue. You see, our attitude to sin is a key to our defeat or to our victory in the work of God. Our attitude to sin. Now, I realize that that's a very old-fashioned outlook. But as I've said, that's of God, and time has not changed it. And I think we've got to realize that as Christians, we are not here to get as close to being in step with the world as we can. We're not called to get as near to the standards of this corrupt society as we can and get away with it. We are called to get our lives in line as nearly as possible in this world with the Word of God, with the command of God, with the law of God, and with the standards of personal Christian living and holiness unto our Savior. That's the call, and that's the great need of the day. Our attitude to sin, as defined by God's Word, our attitude to sin will dictate whether we live our lives in defeat or in victory, individually, and whether as a church we know the fullness of the blessing, or we go on with the empty shell of appearances without any of the internal heart of spiritual reality and spiritual power and blessing. So I want us to look at this chapter and examine the lesson. The root of failure and the key to success or victory in the work of God. That's the subject that I want us to think about. Because from this whole incident of Achan, we must not forget the basic truth. Sin grieves our Savior. Sin causes the Lord to chasten His people, to remove His power and the evidences of His working and blessing from among them. Nor can that situation be altered or rectified until the sin is effectively judged. So let's look then at the root of failure and the key to success in the work of God. Basically, I have simply two points to make. One, that sin is the cause of failure in the work of God. Now, we must be very clear what we mean. We must be clear what we mean by failure, and we must be clear what we mean by sin. By failure, I'm not talking about Christians having a spiritual struggle. The Bible is very clear in its teaching that holiness is a battle. Romans chapter 7 is the death of all ideas of perfectionism in this life, where holiness is a breeze and you don't have any battle. I'm not talking, therefore, about Christians having a struggle spiritually. And maybe I shouldn't need to add it, but I think I probably do, since so much of modern evangelicalism has been tinged, and that's a very nice way of putting it, believe me, with the heresies of the modern charismatic delusion. Christians having a struggle with their health is not what I'm talking about when I talk about failure. Christians having a struggle with their finances is not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about failure. I don't mean even by failure a sense that the Lord has withdrawn for a while. I find in Scripture that the Lord withdraws for a brief period in order to make us yearn more after Him, to test and try and strengthen our faith. I'm not talking by failure about a period of difficulty in prayer. Every Christian, especially every mighty man of God that I have ever known, has found there have been times of difficulty when there have been the attacks of the flesh and the devil in those areas. That's not what I mean by failure. Rather, I mean a perpetual spiritual powerlessness in the face of the enemy. I mean an utterly ineffective spiritual or Christian life. I mean living day by day, month by month, sometimes in some cases, and maybe you'll feel this in your own heart, year by year, under the cloud of defeat, the feeling of utter shame. Life is going on, and when you look back, you say, what has my life amounted to for God? And you can think honestly, and I realize there are times people get so depressed they misjudge this, but where you can think honestly, say, really, I have missed the boat. I've missed the whole purpose of my Christian life. And I've lived so many years, and before God, I have just about zero to show for it. That's failure. That's failure. By sin. When I say that sin is the cause of failure, I don't mean just the presence of any sin. After all, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Any man who thinks that he has no sin is only saying that he's so far from God that his conscience is dulled and he doesn't understand the standards of the Word of God. In the camp of Israel, there were undoubtedly all the usual feelings. But only one sin could cause the failure that Israel had. See, what I'm talking about when I say sin is the cause of failure, it's usually gross sin, or deliberate, willful, or usually for most of us, persistent sin. Take a look at Achan's sin. It was colossal, it was complex. It contains all the elements of most of the types of sin that damage or destroy a Christian's work and witness. First of all, it was deliberate disobedience. God said, thou shalt not, and he did. Deliberate disobedience. Let me tell you, my friend, deliberate disobedience is altogether rampant among professing Christians today. When a man knows to do right and doesn't do it, it is sin. The Scripture is clear and plain and unmistakable. We have clear commands in the Word of God. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And when Christians fly in the face of the clear commands of God's Word, they need not then throw up their hands in mock horror or get before God as Joshua did and say, Lord, what is happening? Why have we lost the blessing? Why are we out of touch with God? Why is our life not amounting to anything? If you're living in disobedience before God and you know it, then, my friend, while you live in disobedience, things are not going to change.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.